Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Glad to be up and about, frankly. This number that's supposed to be indicative of the seriousness of heart attack damage is astronomical. I don't get it because I haven't felt any chest pain. It's not as though I were walking around in agony. It's as though I had no idea it even happened to me, but there it is. I'll be in tomorrow for a metabolic panel, and we'll see how it goes. Today, I want to begin with a couple of stories suggestive that the country is so effed up, it's unbelievable. We got the Minnesota governor on the one hand, and we got the Ohio governor on the other. Minnesota's Democrat governor set to sign bill restoring voting rights of felons, providing driver's license to illegal immigrants. We know out in California, they have this motor voter law. So when you obtain your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote, which sounds just fine, until you understand that in California, illegals are allowed to obtain driver's licenses and therefore are automatically registered to vote. The Democrats are scared shitless that nobody is going to vote Democrat anymore. I'm convinced after Trump won the election in 2016, they have been running scared ever since. They've realized they're an anachronism. No one cares about today's woke Democrat Party, that it's a byproduct of insanity and corruption of a magnitude heretofore unprecedented in the history of the United States. And you got a completely fake president, not even the real Joe, and I guarantee you 100%. This is not the senator from Delaware who appears to have died in 2017, but an actor. We even have a guy in Manchester, UK, who looks very much like the present guy they're trotting out. Of course, it's virtually expressionless facially, whereas Joe Biden had all kinds of expressions, shit-eating grin from ear to ear, very articulate, love to talk. This guy's virtually incoherent, brain-damaged, incompetent. It's just outrageous, because everyone in Washington has to know this is not Joe Biden from Delaware. I mean, it's just ludicrous. If I sit out here in Oregon, Wisconsin, can figure it out. Sure as hell, those people up there close and personal with this guy in the administration know the score. So what's going on here in Minnesota, where I resided for 19 years until moving here to Wisconsin in 2006? Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is posed to sign a pair of bills that recently passed the state Senate, which restore the voting rights of convicted felons immediately upon release and grant the ability for illegal immigrants to obtain a driver's license. Mark my words, then they're going to make the driver's license a key to voter registration. Just as they did in California, Jerry Brown signed it way back when. First up is legislation known as a Restore the Vote Bill, having passed the Senate last week and the House version going through earlier this month. Both chambers are controlled by Democrats. It ought to be a law. It ought to be forbidden for Democrats to hold office. I'm telling you, they're doing so much damage to the United States. CNN reports that Walz is expected to sign the legislation as soon as this week. Minnesota will join 22 other states in restoring the voting rights of convicted felons the moment they leave prison, regardless of what happens during their parole. Three others allow criminals to vote while incarcerated. Wow! CNN informs the Republican senators attempted to introduce amendments preventing incarcerated people and convicted of more violent crimes, including child rape, from having their voting rights restored under the bill. But no, 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 the Democrats are just fine with child rapists. Democrat State Senator, State Senate President Bobby Joe Champion, according to that report, dismissed concerns of that nature because anyone who reoffended would automatically have to go back to prison. So here we have a tweet from Governor Tim Walz. Voting is the basic core of our democracy. When I sign Restore the Vote Minnesota into law, Minnesota will continue to lead in the fight to protect voting rights for all by restoring this inalienable right for thousands of Minnesotans, thousands of convicted felons. Minnesota governor set to sign bills restoring voting rights for felons, give licenses to illegal immigrants. Next up for Minnesota, Democrat Governor Tim Walz, a driver license for all bill that will allow illegal immigrants in the state to apply for driver's licenses. The bill calls for the removal of a rule implemented by former Governor Tim Pawlenty that required driver's license applicants to show proof of legal residency in the United States, such as a Social Security number. The text of the legislation states that applicants are not required to demonstrate United States citizenship or lawful presence in the United States. Why the hell should they, right? Let's just have America for everyone, the world of plenty. Just pour on in here. Who gives a damn? The fact that they're not taxpayers, they're not earning, they don't even know the English language. Who the hell cares? As long as they'll vote Democrat. The text of the legislation states that applicants are not required to demonstrate United States citizenship or lawful presence in the United States. Republican Minnesota State Senator Glenn Gruhagen had argued that the legislation could lead to bigger problems. Really? What in your bill prevents terrorists from coming to Minnesota, getting a driver's license, getting on an airline, and committing a terrorist act, he asked. Of course, the answer is nothing. Republicans again tried to amend the bill by including the text, not for flying or not for voting, with their belief that access to a license could lead to more nefarious actions. No doubt about it. Friend of criminals, it should come as no surprise that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is a friend of felons and illegal immigrants. This is the same man, after all, who wanted on National Guard help from former President Trump when widespread arson fires and looting were, who wanted no National Guard help from President Trump when widespread arson fires were advanced in Minnesota and St. Paul during the George Floyd riots. He then turned around and requested that the feds declare Minnesota a major disaster zone in a letter to FEMA, stating events amounted to the second most destructive incident of civil unrest in American history. The Trump administration rejected the request and $16 million federal bailout. Representative Jess Duncan tweets, "Great news. Real Donald Trump has denied Minnesota's disaster request to repair $500 million in damage from the riots. Governors and mayors who ordered police to stand down and watch their cities burn shouldn't get a penny in taxpayer aid. Over 1,500 buildings were damaged by rioters in the wake of Floyd's death, causing well over $500 million in damages," Walz admitted. "But you recall they described those as mostly peaceful protests. Absolutely unreal. And then what do we got going on here? Aaron Brockovich on Tucker. Really, Tucker's been doing such a good job. I'm so troubled by so many developments out there in the U.S. today. It's pretty damn shocking, all things considered.
East Palestine and Ohio and Ukraine are not technically related in any way, but you still can't help but notice the difference between how they are treated by the Biden administration. So the administration just announced another $2 billion in funding for Ukraine. We've sent them over $100 million already, but no money for the people in East Palestine, who, as you well know, were exposed through no fault of their own to toxic chemicals. Aaron Brockovich is in East Palestine tonight, and we thought it would be interesting to talk to her. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on. Do you know, I mean, can you see the disparity in the... Oh, of course. Can you see the disparity between the concern for the people of Ukraine, you know, which I'm not discounting as real, with the concern for the people in East Palestine? There seems to be a huge difference.
Well, it's certainly concerning to the people of East Palestine. I mean, you know, we're pushing a month now and they still don't have any answers. It's very obvious something's really gone wrong out here. I've been out here down on the ground and they're really frustrated. Why? They don't feel that their agencies or their administration cares about what's happened to the community. So it is very apparent they are concerned and not being seen or heard.
So that you make such an interesting point, and I don't know the answer to this, but you've been around this kind of thing before. You think that there's something specific that they're not being told. That's your sense?
Yeah, there is. And I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, come on. We're out here. What, 44,000 fish are dead? We've seen them. We've seen them out here today, aerating the creeks. They're removing stuff. The wellheads are locked. What's up? Look, you don't have to go any further, in my opinion, than a 100-year study that we all know the miners did for us. It's called the Canary in the Mine Shaft. Send the canary down there, it dies, might not be good for humans. You have dead fish, might not be good for humans. You have dead animals, might not be good for humans. You've sent a horrible mixed message to this community. Drink the water, don't drink the water. Safe, not safe. It's horribly confusing and extremely frustrating to them. And something actually has gone wrong here. And there's information that has yet to come forward, and the story will continue to unfold.
That's so nicely put. And I just want to pick up on something you said. The wellheads have been locked. What did you mean?
So in the schools, so the children can't drink the fountains. And then on private wells around here, they've got locks on them. So they obviously, come on. If there's no problem, you don't need to lock a drinking fountain. You don't need to be aerating the system. And you can explain away all day long to me that nothing's wrong, but I see what's going on here.
Yeah, I think it's better to make decisions based.
You're not going to gaslight me.
It's better to make judgments on the evidence than on the words. I agree with that. Thank you, Aaron Brockovich. Good to see you tonight.
Well, what's going on there is pretty telling as I see it. We have Aaron unloading on the Biden administration's frustrating response to East Palestine. You're not going to gaslight me, she observes. Environmental activist Aaron Brockovich, and we had a whole movie about it regarding Pacific Gas and Electric, starring Julia Roberts. And when you see Aaron Brockovich in person, you can see why Julia was such a great choice to play her. Environmental activist Aaron Brockovich torched a frustrating response by the Biden admin to the disaster in East, I call it Palestine. I think this Palestine thing is kind of odd. Brockovich appeared on Tucker Friday, where she accused the government of hiding ominous details from the American people following the disastrous train derailment. Tucker asked Brockovich if government officials are hiding information about the environmental impact of the train derailments. Yeah, there is. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, come on, Brockovich replied. Oh, we're out here. What, 44,000 fish are dead? We've seen them. We've seen them out here today, aerating the creeks, they're removing stuff. What, the wellheads are locked? What's up? Brockovich compared dead animals in East Palestine to miners bringing canaries into coal mines to detect dangerous and toxic conditions. Look, you don't have to go any further, in my opinion, than a 100-year study that we all know the miners did for us. It's called the canary in the mine shaft. Send the canary down there, it dies. Might not be good for humans. You have dead fish. Might not be good for humans. You have dead animals. Might not be good for humans. You've sent a horrible mixed message to this community. Drink the water. Don't drink the water. Safe. Not safe. Biden, of course, has not visited East Palestine on Friday. He was asked by a reporter if he would. Biden replied, this time I'm not, I did a whole video, the what the hell on. The reporter chimed in and suggested the word Biden was looking for was Zoom. Biden said, Zoom, Zoom. Biden then went off on a tangent. All I can hear every time I think of Zoom is that song of my generation, Who's Zoom and Who? The answer is that I had a long meeting with my team as to what they're doing, you know. We were there 2 hours after the train went down. 2 hours. I've spoken with every single major figure in both the unit in both Pennsylvania and Ohio. Brockovich said the mixed messaging has been horribly confusing and extremely frustrating to the residents of East Palestine. And something actually has gone wrong here, she added, and there's information that has yet to come forward. And the story will continue to unfold. Brockovich told Carlson that schools have shut off drinking fountains and some private wells have locks on them. So in the schools, So Chilling can't drink the fountains, and then on private wells around here, they got locks on them, Brockovich revealed. So they obviously, come on, wow, well, there's no problem. You don't need to lock up a drinking fountain. You don't need to be aerating the system. You can explain away all day long to me that nothing's wrong, but I see what's going on here. She declared, you're not going to gaslight me. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You're not going to gaslight me. But the fact is, that's all this administration does. That is all this administration does. One form of gaslighting after another. By the way, and I may have Nick back because he really didn't get a fair shake. We had this problem here, technically, where I couldn't hear him. So I've written to ask if he can join us again on Wednesday because he got a book about Ukraine as being a just war. And I think that is such an important point to make that Vladimir Putin explained exactly why it was necessary for Russia to enter Ukraine on the 24th of February in the special military operation beginning last year. Why, since the coup of 2014 engineered by Victoria Nuland, the Ukrainians had been shelling the Donbass, killing thousands of ethnic Russians, individuals friendly to Russia. And he'd learned there was about to be a major assault on the Donbass that was going to lead to a slaughter of vast numbers. Where the Russians intervened first. They conducted a preemptive intervention. And, of course, where I think we all know at this point in time, the biolabs, even being funded by the Department of Defense, were actually even targeting genetically, ethnically Russian people. They were developing genetic-specific bioweapons to target Russia. And now we know, of course, the war has turned into an effort here to destroy Russia, but it's of no avail, to no avail, to no avail. When you have France, Britain, and Germany giving a dismemberment plan for Ukraine to Zelensky and telling him, forget the territories, you're going to begin negotiating with Russia, there's a huge, huge issue going on here. A huge issue. And it really means the war is over and Ukraine lost. For those who may have missed the report, a bombshell publication by the Wall Street Journal revealed France, Germany, and Britain served Zelensky a plan to dismember Ukraine and asked him to immediately capitulate, start negotiation with Russia, even if it means he has to hand over territory such as the Donbass and obviously Crimea. As preceded by a Wall Street article warning Kiev that the Battle of Bakhmut is costing Ukraine dearly and may undermine the West's trust in the person of Zelensky by causing turmoil within the country. Westerners are eyeing the Ukrainian army's swing counteroffensive as its last chance to push back Russian forces in order for Kiev to improve its negotiating position. Well, I hate to tell you, but it ain't going to happen. What the NATO officials are proposing would lead to a frozen conflict, which, if accepted, would at some point thaw again. But it's not at all certain Russia would accept it, and I think it would be unwise for Russia to do so. If you have a divided Ukraine, you're going to have constant shelling, rearguard action, guerrilla warfare. Russia, in my opinion, has to take all of Ukraine. Thus, the Wall Street Journal writes, signed officials from France, Germany, and Britain, the journal reports, the NATO-Ukraine relationship could lead Kiev to peace talks, even with occupied territories. Germany, France, and Britain see strengthening NATO ties with Ukraine as a way to encourage Kiev to open peace talks with Russia, even if Moscow's occupation of Ukrainian territory continues. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak last week laid out a deal that would give Ukraine wider access to advanced military equipment, weapons, and ammunition for its defense when the war ends. He said the plan would be on the agenda for discussions at the NATO summit in July. Well, I'm going to tell you, the war is going to be long since over by July. France and Germany support the initiative. All three believe it's a way to give the Ukrainian government an incentive to start talks with Russia. They noted, however, that any decision at when and under what condition peace talks begin rests with Ukraine. Sunak said earlier the West should give Ukraine weapon systems, including fighter jets. That would give it a decisive advantage on the battlefield. That is just stupid. Stupid. According to the Wall Street Journal, however, these public statements are at odds with private doubts expressed by French, British, and German politicians about whether Ukraine could succeed in ousting the Russians from Crimea and the eastern provinces, and how long the West will continue to support a war effort. We keep saying that Russia should win, but what does that mean? If the war continues for a long time at this intensity, losses for Ukraine will become unbearable, and nobody believes they will be able to recover Crimea, a French official was quoted. U.S. President Biden, however, and other Western leaders called for unity in the face of Russian aggression, which was non-existent. There was no Russian aggression. There was Western aggression, constant expansion in NATO, ignoring Russian national security concerns, seeking to make Ukraine a member of NATO. Be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I mean, this whole Ukraine thing has been a catastrophe for the West. And the way in which the United States has responded has been so dishonorable, so criminal, so violative of international agreements and international law that we have disgraced ourselves. I mean, think about it. Russia had historically legitimate national security concerns about the encroachment of NATO, in spite of the solemn assurance from then Secretary of State James Baker that NATO would not expand one inch to the east. There were 13 NATO nations at the time. Today there are 30. And those have come from converting Eastern Bloc countries that would be made newly sovereign with the dissolution of the Soviet Union into NATO nations. In spite of our declaration, we would not do that. And then, of course, we had Victoria Nuland and Jake Sullivan and others in the executive branch who are Russophobes. They hate Russia. I cannot explain it. It appears to me to have no rational basis. Historically, culturally, the Russian people are more like the American people than those of any other nation on earth, virtually without exception. And the very idea of fostering this animosity between Russia and the United States is just reprehensible. But bear in mind, there's money to be made. Putin has noted there's already a plan on paper to divide Russia into segments for exploitation by the Western nations. I mean, how bad is that? U.S. officials declined to comment on Ukraine's proposed security pact with NATO. The German government also declined to comment. Sources cited by the Wall Street Journal said French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz told Volodymyr Zelensky he should start looking at the possibility of opening peace talks when they meet in Paris earlier this month. Macron also reportedly told him that even mortal enemies such as France and Germany made peace after World War II. Macron told Zelensky he'd been a great wartime leader, which is ridiculous, but he would have to make tough decisions. General Petr Pavel, president-elect of the Czech Republic and former NATO commander, told the Munich conference, "We may end up in a situation where the liberation of certain parts of Ukrainian territory may cause more loss of life than society could bear. There may be a point where Ukrainians may begin to consider another outcome." What does Zelensky get in return? NATO weapons for Ukraine, but not Article 5. Article 5, of course, is a mutual defense pact where one NATO nation, if attacked, will receive the report of all the other NATO nations, now numbering 30. The pact in question would not include any commitment to deploy NATO troops to Ukraine, nor will it offer Kiev the protection of Article 5 on collective defense. But the sources say it will provide Ukraine with the military means to deter any future Russian attack. I doubt that very much. Remember, they use the Minsk Accords in order to provide cover for beefing up the Ukrainian military. That's why it's taken Russia longer than expected to dominate, to prevail in Ukraine, because NATO has been beefing up Ukraine under the pretense of following through on the Minsk agreements that were going to make the Donbass a special part of Ukraine. Not to return Crimea, mind you, that will never happen. But it was all bullshit. Even Angela Merkel admitted they had no intention of following through on the Minsk agreements. And look at where that leaves Moscow. How can Moscow possibly agree to negotiate with the West over Ukraine when the West already agreed to the Minsk formally? But it was all pretense. It was all sham. It was all phony. It was all insincere. It was all in bad faith. Bad. What that means is the West has squandered its credibility. Russia can have no faith or confidence in the West. None. Zilch. Zero. Nada. Germany has already hinted it's willing to provide specific assistance on a permanent basis, such as air defense systems, heavy artillery, tanks, and ammunition, while Britain is discussing the supply of warplanes. The NATO summit must make a clear offer to Ukraine, give Zelensky a political victory he can present domestically as an incentive for negotiations, said a British official. Russia's wars have a tendency to freeze and then unfreeze, and that's why Ukraine will need more guarantees from us. Well, Secretary General Stoltenberg has already declared Ukraine is firing munitions more rapidly than NATO could produce them. As I've emphasized more than once, Mike Adams reported, the U.S. has already lost any conventional war with Russia because we have depleted our stockpiles of munitions, our artillery shells, mortar shells, the whole bit. We've already sent them off to Ukraine. And in order for us to replace them, we have to rebuild our munitions production facilities, which would take between 1 and 2 years. Well, we don't have 1 and 2 years to wait while Russia is mowing up, cutting down, destroying the Ukrainian military at a rate that's utterly unsustainable. I mean, it's 8 or 10 to 1 around Bakhmut. 8 or 10 to 1. Ukrainians are dying for every Russian. They're conscripting kids. Ordering pizza and then forcing the kid, the pizza delivery kid, into the military. And if he won't fight, they'll shoot him in the back. This is despicable. And this guy's being touted as a great hero of democracy and freedom. The losses in Bakhmut undermine Zelensky's position. Losses of the armed forces of Ukraine in the battle for Bakhmut will undermine the West's confidence in Zelensky, the Wall Street Journal emphasizes in a second article. Confidence in Zelensky will be shaken if the Ukrainian armed force group in Bakhmut is surrounded and suffers impressive losses, which is taking place as we speak. The battle for Bakhmut is costing Kiev dearly. Kiev is trying to balance a fine line between holding territory and saving the lives of Ukrainian soldiers or to prepare for other battles. Too late. Too late. Too late. Shashank Joshi tweets, "We keep repeating that Russia mustn't win, but what does that mean? If the war goes on for long enough with this intensity, Ukraine's losses will become unbearable," a senior French official reported. Or Tolstoy, "The battle for Bakhmut costs Ukraine dearly. It can undermine confidence in Zelensky, not only in the West, but also inside the country." The Wall Street Journal also recalled the words of Zelensky, who promised not to surrender Bakhmut. Here's the article. "Ukraine faces painful choice as Russia tightens chokehold on Bakhmut." No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Serious, serious stuff. Meanwhile, the latest UK data hides a shocking increase in deaths of vaccinated children. This is horrific. Earlier in the pandemic of the vaccinated, we offered some slight praise for the UK's Office of National Statistics because it was releasing much better data, much faster than the CDC. Those numbers from ONS and LDOS allowed us to extrapolate some very important things, like the fact that vaccinated people are dying at much higher rates than the unvaccinated. Get that. The fact that vaccinated people are dying at much higher rates than the unvaccinated. Big Pharma must have finally got to the ONS, however, because after a 5-month longer delay than normal, the latest ONS release is hiding key things people want to know, such as how many vaccinated children are dying. And remember, the data coming out of the UK is much more accessible than the data coming out of the US, which is being concealed and hidden by the very healthcare system that's supposed to be preserving our health and looking out for our welfare, but is actively engaged in murdering us all if they have the chance. Last year, one of the ONS data dumps revealed a shocking truth about the COVID vax and all-cause mortality rates. After the rollout of the COVID shots for children, vaccinated kids began dying at a rate that was 13,633% higher than unvaccinated children. I repeat. After the rollout of the COVID shots for children, vaccinated kids began dying at a rate that was 13,633% higher than unvaccinated children. That should have been a wake-up call to the entire world. Maybe it was, in a certain sense. We sounded the alarm on this almost unbelievable finding. And when Biden tried to get parents to line up to vaccinate their infants and toddlers, most Americans ignored him. Thank God for that. But it really should have been the alarm bell that got the shots pulled from the market worldwide. That number is so shocking that it's hard to believe. We know the COVID mRNA gene editing technology is dangerous. But could it really be causing a 137-time increase in children dying? It is. It is. And here's how the numbers work out. Only a tiny handful of children under 17 have died with the coronavirus in their system. They've died with COVID in their system, but have not died from COVID. Even the number of kids with COVID in their systems at the time of their tragic death is pretty low, less than 500. Meanwhile, there still has not been a single recorded death from COVID in a healthy child anywhere in the world in the past 3 years. Let me repeat that. There has not been a single recorded death from COVID in a healthy child anywhere in the world in the past 3 years. A tiny handful of sick, immunocompromised kids have died, but otherwise, COVID just isn't all that dangerous for healthy young people. So there's an incredibly small sample size of unvaccinated kids dying from all causes, including COVID. Kids are the most protected members of our society, despite the transgender efforts of the left. They're the age group that is least likely to die from any cause. Most children are unvaccinated because people have widely rejected COVID shots for the young. Wisely. We therefore have a huge sample size of unvaccinated kids. Vaccinated kids, on the other hand, are a tiny group. One single death among the vaccinated cohort translates into a percentage many times higher than a death among unvaccinated kids. That's how the number works out to be a 13,633% higher rate of death among vaccinated children compared to unvaxxed. That report was released in July of last year. Just a few hours later, on the same day, then Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced his resignation. That story sucked all the oxygen out of the room in British newspapers. And the shocking ONS data on kids dying from the COVID shots was largely swept under the rug. Amazing how that happens. This is the reason why many of us vaccine skeptics here in conspiracy theory land are eagerly awaiting this next data set from ONS. Maybe deaths among vaccinated young people have leveled off or hopefully gone down. But the ONS has now taken a page from the CDC here in the U.S. The report was delayed for 5 months. And in what can only be described as a cover-up, they've left an important data set out. All-cause mortality for kids based on vaccine and unvaccinated status was simply left out of the report. Of course, I add as an aside, because it's so damning. We have nothing to compare last July's numbers with because the ONS is hiding something. The question is, what? Would they hide the data if it revealed good news? Probably not. We all know that the vaccines are causing increases in all-cause mortality, especially across younger populations. Good grief! 1.7 million millennials aged 25 to 44 have gone on disability in the United States since the rollout of the shots. And we all have friends or loved ones who were coerced into taking them only to die from a case of sudden death syndrome. The ONS has updated data on all-cause mortality among children. They're obviously hiding something, and it's not just probably, certainly not good news. Here's a story you don't want to miss. as we suspected all along. New video proves Capitol Police on January 6th started firing on the innocent crowd without warning and against the law, injuring numerous individuals, killing several. I think it's quite remarkable that Kevin McCarthy has released, what, 40,000 hours of video from January 6th to Tucker Carlson, 40,000 hours? Tucker's going to do a responsible job of reporting. That's why the Democrats are shitting bricks over it. Well, here's an inkling of what you're going to find. And Tucker is going to begin revealing this during his programs this week. Check it out tonight, Central Time Zone, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern. As we have reported all along, on January 6, 2021, the Capitol Hill police began firing rubber bullets, gas cartridges, flash grenades on Trump supporters gathered around the U.S. Capitol and without warning. In the hundreds of conversations we've had with January 6 attendees, political prisoners, and police abuse victims, they all say the same thing. Innocent people were attacked by police without warning. This was an attack on the American public. While FBI deep state operatives like Ray Epps were breaking through barriers and leading Trump supporters to the Capitol, police were ready to fire on them indiscriminately without warning. Four Trump supporters died that day in the violence. Dozens more injured. Two Trump supporters, Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillips, died immediately when police started firing on the crowd again without warning. We have proof today that there were dozens, if not hundreds, of government operatives leading the crowd that day to the U.S. Capitol in what can only be described as a planned attack. Upon arrival, an officer by the name of Thau frantically requested Capitol Police to provide him with blast munitions and start throwing at the mostly peaceful crowd. Here we have Investigate J6 tweeting, "Police brutality, evidence threat." On January 6th at 11:13 p.m., and by the way, Trump only stopped speaking at the Ellipse at 1:11. So Trump supporters couldn't possibly have come from the Ellipse to have been already at the Capitol at that point in time because it was a mile and a half away. Officer Thau and the D.C. Metropolitan Police arrived on the Capitol's West Plaza. Upon arrival, Thau frantically requested Capitol Police provide him with blast munitions to start throwing at the mostly peaceful crowd. Thau repeatedly requests blast munitions from different supervisors on the ground for the next 10 minutes. At 1:17 p.m., Thau orders Capitol PD Sniper's Nest to continue firing indiscriminately into the crowd. What in God's name could it justify? He screamed, "Let's go! Fucking shoot them! Shoot, shoot, shoot!" Investigate J6 tweets, Thau repeatedly requests blast munitions from different supervisors on the ground for the next 10 minutes. At 1:22, Thau grabs a D.C. officer's taser. He then rushes to the front line and proceeds to take a random protester who can be heard screaming in pain. The crowd responds angrily to Thau's offensive use of the weapon. "Yell, what the F is wrong with you guys?" Blast and incendiary munitions arrive at 1:25. From approximately 1:25 until 2:25, Capitol and D.C. police incite the crowd with an unrelenting barrage of grenades and mortars. Protester Kevin Greeson drops dead at 1:28. Witnesses allege he was killed by one of these grenades. Here's another tweet. Investigate J6. At 1:22, Tao grabs a D.C. officer tasery, then rushes to the front line and proceeds to tase. A random protester can be heard screaming in pain. Crowd responds angrily to Tao's offensive use of the weapon. Like, what the F is wrong with you guys? On January 6th at 2:02, protester Derek Vargo is pushed from a ledge on the northwest staircase by a Capitol D.C. police officer as he attempts to hang a Trump flag. At 2:03 p.m., D.C. police first use their LRAD system, long-range acoustical device, in violation of established protocol. D.C. law requires police to give three separate warnings with the LRAD and an opportunity to disperse before using violence or munitions to clear a protest crowd. But, of course, it didn't happen. Another tweet on January 6th. We'll be right back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
How would you like it if there were a plan to divide up America? The West plans to divide Russia are on paper, Putin said. Putin reported that Russian people may not be preserved in the event of the collapse of Russia. Moscow, February 26. The West plans to divide Russia are documented. This has become its only goal, President Vladimir Putin said in an interview with Pavel Surubin for the Moscow Kremlin Putin program, which airs on the Russia One TV channel. According to the president, if Moscow did not interfere with the policies of Western countries, the fate of the people of Russia could change dramatically, and above all, the fate of the Russian people. I don't know if such an ethnic group as the Russian people can survive in the form in which it exists today, Putin stressed. The head of state noted that instead of a single Russian people, the West wanted to create Muscovites, Urals, and so on. Such plans, moreover, are fixed in writing. It was all in the plans, these plans. They're set out on paper. It's just that in the condition of building relationship, we tried not to talk about it, but it's all there. It's all written. Everything is written on a piece of paper, the president noted. He called the division first of the Soviet Union and then of Russia as its main part, the common goal of the West. Then perhaps they will accept us into the so-called family of civilized people, but only separately, each part separately, Putin stressed. As the head of state explained, the West wants to divide Russia into different entities or to push them around and put them under its control. You know that Moscow had to respond to the attempts of Western countries to remake the world for themselves after the collapse of the USSR, which led to a dangerous situation, without any doubt about it. Now remember, Vladimir Putin, who's a serious guy, has declared that Russia will not use nuclear weapons unless the existence of the state is threatened. I don't think there can be any doubt about it that the existence of Russia is under threat. There's just no doubt about it. Putin even has the plans in writing. Think about it. You have been so propagandized. The West has been so played. There's so much disinformation, so much deliberate dissemination of false claims. Putin even has it in writing. Now, I have no doubt whatsoever. I've seen maps of Russia, which, by the way, spans 9 different time zones. 9 different time zones be divided for the West to exploit. That's what we do. We exploit countries for their natural resources so we can make money at their expense. That's what's going on. Plan to divide Russia. And if you want to know, does that represent a threat to the existence of the Russian state? I mean, what could be more obvious? And since Vladimir Putin is not going to surrender Russia to be divided and looted by the West, you have to see the writing on the wall that if the West continues to pursue its plan to destroy Russia, we're all going to go together, like that Tom Lehrer song. We'll all go together when we go, every Hottentot and every Eskimo. It's going to happen. If the West doesn't cease its imperialistic, hegemonic ambition to dominate the entire world, and in this case, it's being run by the Rothschild banking empire, which we have to recognize to be the world's public enemy number one. It's no surprise that all the key players in Ukraine turn out to be Zionist Jews. It should come as no surprise that they want to reclaim the region of Ukraine from which virtually all of the occupants of Israel today descended. Khazaria, known in the past. So the overwhelming majority of Israeli occupants are not descendants of the tribe of Judah. They are Khazarians. They are descendants of the region now known as Ukraine. The Zionists would like to reclaim Ukraine as the new Israel. They could care less if the U.S. and Russia fall into a nuclear war if they can survive. Honestly, I don't think they have a prayer, but they seem to be naive in the belief that there could be a nuclear war between the West and Russia and they could survive. Bear in mind, Dr. Strangelove, Stanley Kubrick's completely brilliant film about the risks of nuclear war, concludes with the revelation that Russia had a new doomsday machine that would set off massive nuclear retaliation if even one nuclear weapon were detonated against the then Soviet Union. But they hadn't announced it to the public yet. Well, Putin has announced there's a dead man switch. Russia has the equivalent. If we take out the Russian command and control in Moscow, for example, it will automatically launch. And the result is going to be catastrophic. Catastrophic. Absolutely catastrophic. So no one should be optimistic at this point. Really, truly. Ugh. I'm going to be glad to open the lines early, by the way, today. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and get you on the air. Let me begin with you, Mitchell, yourself. When there are already plans on the drawing board to divide Russia, how can Russia not see what's taking place now as an existential threat? And if, as Putin has declared, Russia will use nuclear weapons if it confronts an existential threat to the nation, how are we going to circumvent that outcome? I don't see an obvious way out. Mitchell, your thoughts?
Well, hey, Jim, if the American Indians had nuclear weapons, let's just say they would have defended themselves. you know, we have to understand that this policy, you know, to take down Russia has been a never-ending process of this American empire. You know, the really sad thing is they're essentially using democracy as this front cover to run an American hegemony that is, you know, essentially the strong arm of the New World Order, the World Economic Forum. And we're using Ukraine just as one of many places around the world, you know, where we have wars against sovereign countries. We cannot, as you said earlier, acting honorably in diplomatic negotiations. That's something that we have not done. We haven't acted in any kind of good faith anywhere along the line. And for since the fall of the Soviet Union and Baker and the State Department said, and Bush said, oh yeah, not one step east, you know, and that the evolution of that lie, it's something that the Russians have essentially, they have used up all their goodwill, then all the lies will be met from now on with force. I don't believe, in all honesty, even if they wanted to negotiate, one, that the West is capable of it in any honest fashion. And number two, the United States will never take responsibility for its, well, international crimes against Ukraine since 2014. It's a bad situation. And I had just right before the show, Zero Hedge had posted an article that claims that Zelensky says, well, we are preparing to take what we call deoccupation steps for Crimea. And, you know, I believe they have set things into motion in a way that can't be undone, and it will ultimately lead to some type of altercation, nuclear wise.
Tell me a little more. What do you interpret Zelensky as meaning?
Well, Zelensky is, now, remember, he is one of those young economic, one of those young leaders from the World Economic Forum, the young leaders school or whatever. Okay. And he is going to keep provoking war with Russia, partly because that's part of his role, you know. You can't literally, you cannot make this stuff up where, you know, literally a few years ago, he was essentially, you know, this comedian on stage, you know, playing a piano with his dick. Okay. Right. I mean, you literally can't make this stuff up, Jim. It's that insane. And for people to transform from that type of, I would say, an entertainer personality into this so-called role as a war leader for the country, who, you know, is literally enriching himself. I mean, the president's salary in Ukraine is 734,000 euros or something like that, maybe. I mean, it's a lot of money compared to even to what we pay our president. I believe it's, you know, 3/4 more. But we have put these forces into play, and it's like a momentum that can't be stopped. It can be slowed down a little bit. It can be maybe delayed, but it won't be stopped. And they will always be finding a trigger. And Zelensky is one of those people who will keep pushing and attacking. And that's because, you know, as I said, that's his role in this in this war. We have Brian on the line.
Sure. Join the conversation, Brian.
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about was the head of Shabbat named Menachem Schneerson, who gave a speech in 1994. Are you familiar with that speech at all?
No, you go ahead, tell us.
Well, he talked about how they were going to instigate a war between Ukraine and Russia. And he said that the problem with the Ukrainians, they're in our ancestral homeland, and they're basically the analog. They're the Aryans, and we can't use our propaganda and whatnot to change them. So we're going to destroy them. They're going to think they're going to war with Russia for freedom, but what they're really going to war for at our instigation is to destroy them. And we will take a few of them and put them in something like Indian reservations in northern Ukraine. And, you know, and he goes into detail with everything that's going on now. Same with Russia, how they were going to destroy Russia the same time with the sanctions and all that blew up in their face. But so when you look at things like the Battle of Bakhmut, where they keep feeding these poor Ukrainians into that meat grinder, and they're just losing thousands of troops, it's all part of this Rabbi Menachem Schneerson's thing. I mean, it's intentional to destroy as many Aryan Ukrainians as they can. It was really an interesting speech to read, and this was in 1994 when he gave this speech, and it's exactly everything going on now. And what's interesting about this Menachem Schneerson, who's since died, Jared Kushner and the Trump girl, you know, Trump's daughter, went to his, grave and honored him. He's real honored amongst the Jews. He's some big powerful Jew from the past. But when you read the speech, it just makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And I kind of know that's how they work, because I found that article on Henry McCow, and years ago there was an article on Henry McCow how in World War II the Germans were killing all these Ukrainians, and they were digging into it and discovered that the orders to kill them all came from City of London. The German high staff had a lot of traitors, and they were the ones that were putting these orders out at behest of the Jews. So this is, you know, this is just part two of that. And what I found interesting, these troops in Bakhmut, Ukrainian troops that are being killed, a lot of them, they check the IDs, the Russians, and they're all from Western Ukraine. And Western Ukraine is like a real Aryan area. I mean, the poor guys that come from there are blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryans, and that's what they want to get rid of, is the Aryans. So anyway, that's what I've got.
Mitchell, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, there's no doubt that we are seeing this. It's another type of a cultural war, you know, just as we saw, you know, in the former Yugoslavia when it broke up. We're essentially seeing the same thing, but I don't believe it's along the religious angles and bounds that that was. But this is more cultural and ethnic. So,
you got a 408 caller. Good job.
Oh, yeah, it's Mr. Paul.
Go ahead, Paul. Join the conversation.
Hey, Brian, that was great. Really well done. So, yeah, and we can just drop these terms like cultural. It's racial. As I've made clear so many times, you have to get to the essence of what's happening. You know, Jim, I don't know why you don't get it. I mean, Mitchell just said it a little bit ago when he talked about Zelensky, right? And here's some faggot, some obnoxious Jewish faggot, okay? You know, playing piano with his dick, and that's the way Mitchell put it. I'm assuming it's true. I don't know about it. I didn't see it, right? But
I've seen the videos, Paul. It's true. It's absolutely true. There's no doubt about it. Go ahead.
Okay, so it makes the point, right? Everything with these people, okay, is fraud and theater, okay? Fraud and theater. And you have done it with your research all your life, right? Or ever since you started down this road, okay? Fraud and theater over and over and over again. So I'm going to make the point one more time. Even if there were nuclear weapons, which there aren't, okay, and we don't need to get in that discussion. I've made my points before. You haven't put the time in. You haven't taken a look at the material that I suggested or done anything else. You just believe what it is you're told. You believe in the reality that you're presented with, okay? Now, the reason that they present us with this reality is because what they always do is fraud and theater, and they want us to be afraid of their, quote, power, right? They're basically like, you know, sorcerers or magicians. But again, to say what I was going to say, even if there were nuclear weapons, which I certainly do not believe at all, there's not going to be a nuclear war. So you can forget about that. You have more immediate concerns with your own immediate health, and you don't need to be worried about a nuclear war because it's not going to happen. And I would suggest, I don't know if you've heard any of the broadcast that Dave Scorpio has done with Mike Sledge and posted on the platform over at Mammy's, right? But they cover this very well, and they're not alone. They're not the only ones saying that this is a bunch of fraud, a bunch of theater. We don't need to be worried about this. It's just more, you know, a central distraction. I mean, Mike Sledge has gone so far as to say the whole war in Ukraine is gay and fake. So I'm not sure to what extent the fakery exists, but we know from the outset, and you covered it on your show, there was multiple instances where people were posting either videos or photos from other places and other times and trying to say, oh, this is a Ukraine. And you know, they were caught. You probably recall that. So again, I'm just going to make the point that fraud and theater, and we don't have to be worried about it at all. Things will sort themselves out over there. And I know that I believe, too, that our governments are meddling. There's no doubt about that, okay, that the Western government, the U.S., the Western U.S., all right, we'll put it that way, is meddling over there. But I don't think that it's anything to be taken that seriously. And I really do believe in many ways that Putin is playing along. I don't think Putin is 100% authentic. And there's a lot of good reasons for thinking that. And again, I would urge you, if you haven't heard any, to take in one or two of Dave Scorpio's and Mike Sledge's broadcasts. They've been doing about one every 1 or 2 weeks, roughly. And I think that you might come that way if you hear enough of them.
Well, I'm a big fan of Scorpio and Giuseppe and a whole lot of others, and I welcome diverse points of view, including yours, Paul, even if we're at fundamental odds about a couple of basic issues. But I can only report based upon my understanding of the world and how it's put together and my own study and research, and it all leads me to the conclusion the war is very, very real, that the threat to Russia is something it had to deal with, that the war is all but lost, that Ukraine cannot maintain the degree, the rate of loss, that it's consuming munitions more rapidly than NATO can produce them. My judgment, Putin is the only true statesman astride the world stage. But I most certainly appreciate alternative points of view such as yours. We'll be right back after this break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mitchell, let's have some more of your thoughts, my friend, while we await other callers. Mitchell. Mitchell, are you there, my friend? Paul, are you still there? Huh.
I'm here, Jim. I just was on mute.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul. Give us further of your thoughts. What was Scorpio arguing? I'm a big fan.
Well, I mean, basically just what I said. I mean, you'd have to listen to the whole show. They don't spend the whole time talking about it, but on several of their shows, they cover it. And
you're talking about skepticism regarding nuclear weapons.
No, that
the whole war is somehow a theatrical, a kabuki theater.
Well, it's not the whole, it's just degrees. So in other words, I mean, you just have to take the aspects that we can, you know, digest, right? Like 9/11, was the whole thing theatrical? Well, no, not necessarily, right? I mean, there were obviously explosives involved and those buildings came down, but what was it that we saw? Right. So, I mean, that's just it's an analogy. I don't know, you know, how apt it is, but we only know what we are being told and what we hear. I mean, if you're not there in person and you can't be in multiple places at one time. Right. So, I mean, what are we subjected to? We're subjected to reports. Right. And even the ones on the so-called, you know, Internet, the alternative, you know, we have to be wary of that. And I know you're a fan of Miles Mathis and you don't consume everything that he's written or that other, he has guest writers now. In fact, in the last couple of years or so, he's had more guest writers than ever. And several of them have done excellent work on the theater of World War II. I mean, there was a lot of lies and theater in that as well. And a lot of the stuff that we were told just wasn't so. You know, some of the campaigns, especially the so-called island hopping campaign in the Pacific, a lot of that was basically fraudulent. And just a lot of things that, you know, when you think about it and you look at what's being said, and then you come at it from another point of view, you sit down, you analyze it and say, okay, wait a minute, how much sense does that make? You know, similar to the things that you've done with so many of these shootings, as an example. You know, that you become good at many things, but these shootings are your specialty. And, you know, just the points that you raise, okay, like this, that, and the other doesn't add up, doesn't make any sense. And, you know, that's what I think that has to be our presumption. You know, walking into anything, that has to be our presumption first and foremost. Not that it's real, but probably that it's not real or that there's many aspects of it that aren't real. Don't you agree that's a fair presumption nowadays with what we both know?
With regard to most events, yeah, I agree, Paul. I think there's a lot to that. Does Brian want to add a further thought? Is Brian still there with us? Brian?
Yeah, I'm here. I've got a new one for you. This one, I've never had any information on this, but I've been having dreams. Sorry, I have pneumonia too, Jim. I'm getting over it.
Damn, Brad. But
anyway, I've been having dreams about Al Capone, okay, of all the people. And then after one of these dreams, I go to my restaurant, and there's a woman in there, and she says, I just found out I'm moving to Chicago. And then someone else comes in and they said, well, I'm moving to Chicago. And then I look out on the street and there's an old 1920s sedan with the running boards. All it was missing was a Tommy gun mobsters on the running board on a flatbed driving by. So I tend to listen then to what I'm getting from the dream. And what they were showing me in the dream was that Al Capone was actually a good guy. That he actually, I looked online, he had a soup kitchen that he spent a lot of money on feeding all the poor in the Depression, and that he would help people, he would mentor people, give them money. He was just not anything like what we're showing, and that it was the Jewish gangs that did the St. Valentine's Day massacre, and that the government was actually who gave him syphilis, that the Tuskegee Institute started syphilis studies in 1931, and I think he went to prison in 1931. So to me, all that just kind of fits. I mean, suddenly, you know, because one of the protocols of the Elders of Zion is they don't allow us to have any of our natural leaders, that they have to control everybody. And if you look at Larry Pinckney, who was part of the original Black Panthers, I listened to him on the radio, and, you know, they were COINTELPRO'd from the FBI because they were actually doing good. They had school lunch programs. They were helping out people in the neighborhood, and our evil controllers can't have that. So like Al Capone, like Larry Pinckney and any of the others, this is what we get.
Paul.
I had to unmute there. That's very interesting, you know, and I don't regard dreams probably with the same weight. Well, I guess that's a good word as Brian does, but I don't discount them at all. I really do believe that we are all of us endowed with certain perceptive abilities that go beyond the what I call the absolute limits of physical consciousness. And I myself have had in the past, unrelated to kind of world events, but I've had dreams and visions. And people know the difference. In other words, there's a sort of a difference when there's visions incorporated with your dreams. A lot of dreams don't necessarily have so-called visions. But that's interesting, and I don't discount any of it. I don't know anything about Al Capone except the traditional narrative, right? Television and movies, shall we say? But more to the point of, I mean, let's get to the immediate. Jim, what I want you to do, if you just would listen to me, to consider, you know, doing some of the things I say, I want you to order a sauna, an in-home infrared sauna. You can find the kits online for a lot of good ones for less than $2,000. You know, some of the really nicer ones, better ones, up there around $3,000. But they're worth it. And you should start doing infrared sauna pretty much daily or close to daily. It's one of the healthiest things you could do. And that's one of my recommendations for you.
Well, if I had two or three grand to spare, that might be a great idea.
You've got it to spare. You just have to pull it out of your savings or whatever. I can help you. But I mean, if you had $7,000 to spare to give to the effing court for that BS, which you should have never been involved in, then you could have. That's another topic.
In a day when my legal defense fund was actually pulling in some support. I'm back in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, by the way, and I think my appeal is very, very strong. But, you know, I have been so disappointed by the failure of the judiciary to follow the laws and the protocols of the courts themselves that I can't be optimistic, but I like my submissions. I mean, it's really stunning stuff, Paul.
Yeah, it's funny that you say what you just said, because if you recall what I told you earlier, I mean, years ago, I said what they will do is they were not going to follow their own law and their own court decisions. I told you it's very, very simple, their formula. Is if the law can help you, if the law is on your side, they'll tell you that it doesn't apply. And if the law is favorable to them and whatever it is their agenda, then they will say, oh, that law applies. It's pretty straightforward. So, and the other part that you just mentioned, it's funny too. Somebody once said when I was getting into it before, said, don't fall in love with your own pleadings, because let's face it. When you're fighting this particular cause that you're fighting, your pleadings don't matter. Even though they're probably great. I don't dispute it. I know you can write. I mean, I know you can speak. You're smart. You're verbal. And I myself have come up with some great pleadings in the stuff that I was involved in the past. But in the end, it doesn't matter. They pay no attention to them. It's like pearls to swine. So that's why, for the most part, I vow I'm never going to be in a court again, as far as I can see, unless I'm going to sue somebody civilly for money damages. You know, the only reason to go to court is if you're going to win money, and there's a good chance you're going to do it. Otherwise, there's absolutely no reason to be there, because the whole thing is like a stinking slaughterhouse.
I wish I had a good argument against what you're saying here, Paul, but I'm sorry to say my experience tends to confirm it. Unbelievable. I mean, I was naive going into the courts in the expectation that they'd actually follow their own protocols. Wow, do I regard myself as naive in the extreme in those days.
Yeah, I know. Huh? It's funny when we think about it. And if we had a good archives, I could get Mitch. Mitch, roll the clip where I'm laughing at Jim when he says that truth is the ultimate defense.
Yeah.
If only it were so, my friend. If only it were so.
You got me there, Paul. There's no doubt about it. It's very, very disillusioning to go through all these judicial procedures. Very time-consuming, expensive, demanding, and they have so little to show for it. It's pretty disappointing.
The only thing you got to show for it is not just a hole in your wallet, but a hole in your heart. And none of us need that.
Yeah. Brian, I take it you're eating something here right out of a skillet.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's me.
No,
again.
Oh, it's Paul.
I'm quiet.
Yeah. This is the other thing I want you to do, Jim, is I want you to start fixing yourself, if you can cook or your wife can cook, some sort of a cabbage-based soup at least weekly or twice weekly.
Cabbage-based.
Nothing's healthier for
cabbage-based.
Yeah, cabbage-based. Easy to do. It's like you chop up your cabbage. I typically go with cabbage, celery, and onion as my base. And then you can do whatever you want. If you want to use some beef or some chicken, you want to go vegetarian, that's fine. I use a little bit of a tomato, you know, base in there with it. I add that last. But, you know, and I have a way of doing this thing. I wish I could share it with you. It's so delicious. I will typically saute the cabbage first in a little butter and salt. So I kind of just saute it in a pan, you know, brown it a little bit. And then I put it in the soup pot, you know, to boil it up with everything else. And if you make a big enough pot, heck, you can eat off of it for days, you know.
Mitchell, are you there, my friend? Do you have any late news from the front? Zelensky said Ukraine is preparing. What is Ukraine preparing? That's the retaking of the Crimea. Is that it, Mitchell?
Yeah, that's what they think they're going to try to do, I guess.
Not a chance.
Did you have you been paying attention to the Sinaloa cartel payroll exposures in Arizona?
No, tell us, Mitchell.
They supposedly I'll send you the link. I sent a link to you on your other on your regular Skype channel, but okay. It's alleged that, you know, Katie Hobbs, Kyrsten Sinema, their congressman from the third district, the recorder, a whole bunch of people essentially were getting campaign donations from the Sinaloa cartel. And
that's a Mexican drug cartel.
Yeah.
Say it with me, Mitch. Sinaloa. Sinaloa.
Sinaloa. Well, Sinaloa. Well, I wouldn't surprise
me. It's a state in Mexico.
They wouldn't surprise me. They come kill me because I mispronounce their name. But I guess they'll have to get in a line because I'm sure.
I thought Kyrsten Sinema was a good guy. This doesn't sound right. That's disturbing.
Well, I don't even think her real name is Kyrsten Sinema, Jim. I think that's her. That's an alias that she adopted. I don't think that's her real full name. But no, you know, Democrats, Republicans, you know, listen, it's all about money. It's all about markets. And, you know, those who control the markets control the gold and they rule. So, it is unfortunate. So that's some of the latest news. Now, this stuff was being, some of it was testimony that was evidently happening in front of some state government panels in Arizona. So,
I gather it's pretty explosive stuff, and certainly what you're suggesting falls into that line. So, very disturbing. If she had, I thought she and Joe Manchin were the two principal Democrats in the Senate. So it's a very unsettling if she's corrupt.
Well, I would say that if you look at our federal government, I would say that there are only 3 to 5% of our elected representatives aren't corrupt.
Yeah.
And there's only 3% or 5% of the good guys out there that are left. And, you know, they are essentially surrounded in the sea of sewage. I don't call it a swamp. I call it a sea of sewage. And it's really, you know, it's a bunch of shit. And it's green and stinks as far as you can see. And boy, is it deep. It's 1,000 critters and people deep all trying to get some shit. So that's how I look at it. Trump just had a gallon of Clorox. He couldn't do much.
Paul.
Okay. Okay. Hey, Jim, I did round something up for you here.
Go ahead.
Okay, here, let me get this straight. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, there we go. All right, here we go.
True love will do the same for you.
Yes, 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 yes.
And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go.
Yeah, where'd that go to? You always used to play that.
Love it, Tom Lear. Yeah, I used to use it for my intro, Paul. I was using it for intro.
Always. Yeah. Who was that other guy, too? He reminds me of this guy, Mark something or other. He was a great satirist and lyricist. He used to play the piano and make all these clever political commentaries in the form of a kind of a musical poetry. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about.
I'm not sure. I mean,
I'd have to look him up, I think. But he reminds me of
Tom Lehrer.
That's him. Yeah.
Well, Tom Lehrer did that all the time. Yeah, he did. And was completely brilliant about it, Paul. Completely brilliant.
And for some reason, I thought his name was Mark something. But maybe there was more than one that did something like that. But he did something at least annually, you know, commenting on the political scene of the day.
Yeah,
I'm barely making noise chopping celery now. I don't know how loud it is.
That's okay.
These mics pick up everything.
That's okay.
Jim, is there anywhere near you? Is there a Whole Foods or a place like that, or a Sprouts or any place near you?
You know, I'd have to check it out. I'm in this little village just south of Madison. I have no doubt there are Whole Foods in Madison. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's a real left-wing enclave.
How far are you from Madison?
10 miles.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Okay. Yeah. All right. Because you should go on a regular basis and get the fresh juices. That's the advantage. Having your own juicer is great, but it's a lot of time and work. But when you can go to a place like Sprouts or Whole Foods and they already have it, and nothing healthier than Watermelon juice, for example. When I was up in Reno, I went to the Whole Foods and I was having a watermelon juice every day. And then also any kind of vegetable mix, but especially celery juice is very, very healthy.
And yeah, anyone who's wondering why Paul is bringing these issues up, I've just survived a heart attack. I had no idea I'd even suffered one, but it was induced by pneumonia, where my lungs were filling up with liquid, and I could tell my voice did not sound normal. And then last Tuesday, you know, I took my wife out to Valentine's Day dinner, and the following day I felt very weak. I was shivering. Blankets wouldn't stop the shivers. Felt weak the next day. The following day, I could hardly move, and had her take me to the hospital. That would have been a week ago Friday. And they took wonderful care of me, diagnosed right away what was going on. And now I'm going through the process of recovery. So I appreciate all these thoughts, Paul, about food and benefits, nutritional and otherwise. Yeah, so it's all good stuff, just for those who don't know the background.
Right, right. And it's important, especially as we all get older, we have to remain conscious. It's easy just to slip up. I mean, I do it too, you know, paying attention to hydration and nutrition, especially hydration, because of all the things we lose as we age, and we do, we lose all sorts of stuff, is our sense of thirst. It's one of the things that starts to go. So we really have to stay on top. In other words, we have to, for the most part, fix a certain amount of liquid, especially, you know, water and water and juice, and take that amount in pretty much daily. I mean, because when you start to get behind, you know, you suffer from chronic dehydration. So it compounds on the acute dehydration is just, of course, you know, for the day or so. But chronic dehydration is the cause of most all diseases, including heart disease. And, you know, the so-called fluid or whatever is built up, it's mucus is basically what it is. And it's important to find, if you can, a good exercise that's mucus clearing or mucus cleansing. And not all exercise will do that for you equally. And my favorite, my best, the easiest for me, and you can find this out for yourself, is bicycle riding through open air, you know, when you're pumping the pedals hard. So when you are bicycle riding through open air, you know, and really, you know, making a go of it, the whole ride doesn't have to be this way, but you have to have periodic bursts of speed where you're really trying to get going and pumping hard. Believe me, you will expectorate, okay? You will hack up and spit, because that is an extremely mucus-producing exercise. And that's what we need, and a lot of us lack in our lives. And, you know, there's other things. I mean, if you want to do like a treadmill or an elliptical or something like that. But, again, going through, especially if it's cooler, if you go through cooler or even cold air on a bicycle, believe me, my friend, you will know exactly what I'm talking about when you do it. And that is absolutely essential if you're going to be fairly sedentary. You can spend a lot of time indoors on a computer and talking into a microphone. You're just going to get, you know, mucus that builds up. And that's why I'm telling you about the sauna, the infrared sauna,
right,
as well as, because these things are far, far more important than what's going on in Ukraine, unfortunately, my friend.
Love it, Paul. I do appreciate it all. Brian, do you have final thoughts as we wind down today?
Shoney's was a restaurant chain that had the most wonderful beef and cabbage soup, and you could find the recipe online, and I make it. I was addicted to it when they had their store here, and I still am, so that would be one you could find online, and Paul, you would probably love that one too.
Yeah, no, I love soups and stews, and it's so easy to do good ones, really. In fact, when you get to be a good cook, you will find that it's just hard to duplicate what you can do out when you go out. I mean, because, you know, it's not hard to do cooking. Baking's difficult. Baking is, that's sensitive to technique, time, temperature, but cooking's more forgiving. And when you can put all the stuff in there fresh yourself, and if you buy organic or whatever, there's no healthier eating than good soups and stews.
Well, I appreciate Brian, Paul, Mitchell, all your thoughts here on my road to recovery. It's great to have you here, and we'll continue to report these latest developments and welcome points of view. Paul, I appreciate all you have to say, my friend. Thank you for being here, and everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love, because we do not know how much time we have left.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...